Let us pray. Lord, worthy is your name, the name that's above every name, Jesus. Lord, we continue to worship you this morning. And God, as we look in your precious, precious word, Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit will illuminate these scriptures to us. And Lord, that you will speak through this dust, Lord, to this church. May the sheep be fed. Lord, may the lost be converted by your precious word. Lord, we ask that you will increase our faith this morning, that we can be witnesses for you this week. And we continue to worship you, Jesus. You are the treasure that is worth seeking. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. This morning we begin a new series of messages, and they are entitled The Rallying Cry. The Rallying Cry. And these warning judgments that we are living in America, these warning judgments upon America, you know, Jesus could come back any day. He could come back any day, and yet it seems that we are hearing all sorts of rallying cries that we ought to rally around this or rally around that in our day. And do you think that politicians in Washington, D.C., do you think they're going to fix their problems in America? Only until we return to our founding document in the United States of America will America be safe. Our founding document is not the Declaration of Independence. It is not the Constitution. As American citizen, we ought to go back to the Constitution. But our founding document, United States of America, is God's Word. Our founding fathers were evangelical Christian men. 29 of them were 29 were seminary graduates. They believed God's word. And that is what we should rally around. The word, the definition of rally, number one, it means to gather together retreating troops and restore a state of order. The second definition of rally is to bring or come together for a common purpose. A third definition of the word rally means to revive and to recover. This is what we need to do. We need to rally around God's word. Now, sometimes we will rally around a good cause. And I'm an American, I'm a patriot, and I believe freedom is a good cause, and it's something that we should rally around. I love the movie The Patriot, and where the patriots there are fighting the British, and the flag begins to retreat, and Mel Gibson grabs that flag and says, "Come on!" And they all rally around the American flag and move forward against the British. So sometimes we may rally around a good cause. Sometimes we will rally around a program and, you know, a building program. And these are all good things, but that is not the primary purpose of you and I as being the witness. But a program, sometimes we will rally around a program. Sometimes we want to rally around something new. And we always say, oh, we just need something new to come into the church, something new, and we will rally around something new until it's old. Sometimes we will rally around a preacher or a pastor, and when you rally around a man, you are headed for failure. A man is just a man, and yet we will rally around a preacher or a pastor. And, you know, when I was a deacon in a church in Alaska, I thought a lot about visiting preacher that came into our church, and one time I met him at a convention in Anchorage, and I walked up to him like I was somebody and said, "Hey, brother so-and-so," and he looked at me like he'd never met me. So sometimes a preacher or pastor will even forget who you are. So when you rally around a man, the next one will never fill the shoes, or this won't happen, or that won't happen, or he will sin, and you'll find out about it, and then your faith becomes into a man instead of in who you ought to place your faith in, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. But sometimes we will rally around an evangelist or a preacher, but the Word of God says one plants, one waters, and God gives the increase. As your pastor, I want to encourage you, us, me, and you. Let's rally around God's Word. That's what we need to rally around. God's precious Word. Let's rally around the Word. When you go, carry the Word. When you go, read the Word. As you go day by day, meditate upon the Word. Let's rally around the Word. As retreating troops, let's come back together in America, here in our community, and rally around the Word. Because when you rally around, when your focus or mission in life is around something besides God's Word, it'll never please you, you never will become pleased, and it will fail you. God's Word, though, is everlasting. God's Word endures forever and ever. Let's rally around the Word. It is our sword. It is our light. It washes us. It comforts us. God's Word is what we build our lives with. It is the authority as born-again believers in our lives. This morning we're looking at His Word is light. Psalm 119, verse 105 is our verse for this morning. Also, it will be our theme verse for these series of messages. Please stand for the reading of God's Word this morning. Psalm 119, 105. The Word of God says, in this psalm, the largest book of the Bible, in the middle of our Bible, it's all about God's Word. The psalmist wrote, inspired by the Holy Spirit, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path." Lord, please honor the reading of Your Word this morning. In Your name, amen. You may be seated. His Word is light. The value of light, very valuable, is light unto our feet. Very valuable is light unto our pathway as we live our lives. So valuable. Have you ever been in a situation where you needed a light? I have one in particular. I was fishing with my father-in-law in the Crowville Cutoff up in northeast Louisiana. Two times in my life have I ever been bass fishing and caught bass every time I threw into the water. This was one of those times. Every cast, we were catching a bass. And we fished till dark in the Crowville Cutoff. We were at least 2 miles down that thing. And we started saying, "Where's the light?" I didn't bring a light, neither did my father-in-law. And it was dark. We were catching fish. But we had to make it home. And you know, there wasn't even a moon out that evening. All we had was stars. Now, I know most of you, or maybe none of you, have been on the Crowville Cutoff, but let me tell you a little bit about it. It's full of stumps. And there are cottonmouths in that thing that lay on top of the water and dare you to come by. I mean, they are mean looking. The whole body just laying on top of the water, daring you to come by. The alligators in that thing, you can hear them in the fall of the year, like that. It's a scary place. Scary at night. Snakes, alligators, stumps. And there we were. And my father-in-law only has one speed on his boat. You know how fast that? It's called fast. Wide open. Right down the middle of the Crowville Cutoff. And there were stumps we couldn't see. Oh, I've been down this way several times, he said. But I tell you, not with me in the boat with no light. I could picture myself wrapped around a stump with alligators and cottonmouths all around me all night. Scary. We needed a light. The value of a spotlight at that time would have been so valuable. I would have gave you all the money I had in the bank for a light that night to see where we were going. So valuable is light. And God's Word is so valuable to you and I as the light in our lives. It is a reading lamp. We can actually read the mind of God when we pick up His Word and read. It is the mind of God. It's the thoughts of God Almighty here in His Word. It is a heating lamp. It burns like a fire within our bones. The prophet Jeremiah said, it's like a fire, God's Word. It is a miner's lamp. It illuminates the very deepest pits of a sinful life. Also, it's a safety lamp. It is used in the most dangerous places. God's Word can be used when there's danger. You know, when you quote Scripture against the enemy, Satan, he'll flee. Also, it's a lighthouse. It illuminates the storms of life. It casts light in the darkest places as a great lighthouse. God's Word. It'll cast light on a very needy community. Value in light. His Word is guidance for the immediate. It's the psalmist wrote, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet." In other words, each step of the way, as we walk by faith, God's Word is what illuminates the next step. The very immediate things in life that you are dealing with, God's Word will bring comfort if you're hurting. God's Word will bring guidance if you don't know the next step. It's for the immediate. It's not something that was written 2,000 years ago or more for those people back then. It's for you and I today. For the immediate things in life. Also, God's Word. His Word is guidance for the future. It says, a light unto my path, where I'm headed. It illuminates my path where I can see in front. You know, there's nothing, no question that you can ask that God's Word cannot answer. Oh, Pastor, it doesn't spell it out. Thou shalt not do this or thou shalt do that. Yes, but the principles of God's Word does spell it out. It's a light unto our path. It is the authority. If you don't know what to do, get in God's Word. He'll tell you what to do. It's a light that illuminates the future, our path in life. God's Word. During the immediate winds and the floods, or during the future winds and the floods, Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, which was about God's Word, He said that during these winds and storms, if your life is built upon His Word, it will not be wiped away. The immediate or the future winds and the floods of life. The value of God's Word. His Word is what shines in and through the church. You know, as you turn to Matthew chapter 5, God's Word is what makes us different than any other organization in this world. God's Word is what makes us different. We are a living organism. We have God, the Holy Spirit, as born again, redeemed, justified by the blood of the Lamb. We have the Holy Spirit of God, and we also have the living Word of God. When you put this Word in your heart and life, it becomes alive within you. That's what makes us different. You cannot compare a New Testament blood-bought church with any other organization. Why? Because this is our authority right here. This is it. This is what makes us good Americans. This is what makes us good citizens. This is what makes us good people, because of our faith in Jesus and God's authority in our life, which is His Word. It's what makes us different. And it's what shines in us and through us. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the Word that became flesh. It's His light. And if we're going to shine and rally around something, let's rally around His Word. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Listen to what Jesus said. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. You know, if you and I rally around the Word of God in our personal lives, not just here at church, but rally around His Word and meditate on it and read it and carry it as we go in our hearts, you won't be able to hide that. You see, what we have, we want to share. What can we share? What are we to share? The gospel, God's Word, faith in Jesus. And it's like a light on a hill that cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. It is God's Word that teaches us what a good life is about, what good works is, and being a witness for Jesus Christ. It is God's Word that shines in and through the church. That's what we ought to rally around. God's Word. Look with me in Matthew 6, verse 22 and 23. Matthew chapter 6, this same Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, the lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, your eye, if therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. If your eye is healthy and can focus, you'll be full of light. But if your eye is bad or evil, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? So if we are not in God's Word and eyeing God's Word and keeping our sight on the Lord Jesus Christ, to be focused on Jesus, you must be focused on what He said. You must be focused on His Word. So for our eye to be good, for our light to shine, we must be in and stay in God's Word. Because if you're looking at other things and not God's Word, you're full of darkness. You're full of darkness. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. The lamps, the light. I encourage you to go read about Gideon in the Old Testament. He had a vast army and God culled them all down to a few hundred. And those few hundred who went against thousands of the enemy, they went at night, but they had lamps. They used that light and it looked like a vast army. And it made the enemy flee. They ran away in fear. You see, you and I, the church, we have this light to go out in a dark, sinful world, and it is God's Word that we go with. Matthew chapter 25. Let's read this, beginning in verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." This parable is about the Lord's return and about being ready for His return. He is the bridegroom. We are the bride. Let us read on. Verse 7, "Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming.'" Having to do with the lamps and having oil and being ready. That same Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 through 7. About God's Word, the Word that became flesh and preached that great message about God's Word. He spoke about some saying, "Lord, Lord, didn't we do this and do that?" And He said, "I didn't know you. I do not know you. Please listen to me." Before you can rally around God's Word, it has to be here first. I'm not talking about filling out a membership card to Cooper Baptist Church. I'm not talking about being a member of some church denomination. All that is great. You ought to do that. Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. But before you can rally around God's Word, it has to be here first. You see, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. For you to know Jesus, for you to know Jesus personally, you must believe His Word. It is the light that shines in us and through us. If Jesus came back today, are you in God's Word enough to know Jesus? do you believe to the saving of your soul? Let's pray. Lord, in all the disturbance, even in this church at this time, your word still is truth. God, some does not want to hear it. Some don't believe it. But yet there's always a remnant that believes your word. The five wise, Lord, that has their lamps full of oil, and your Holy Spirit illuminates the word to them, and they're ready. God, may we as Cooper Baptist Church, the born-again believers of this church, may we rally around your word. Lord, I pray for those who do not have your word in their hearts. They've never been justified, made right with you, Holy God, by the blood of Jesus, the word that became flesh. God, may you woo them. May you woo them, Lord, for your glory. In your name, Jesus, amen.